Okay, welcome everybody to Satsang. My love, my heart for all of you. Satsang means a holy alliance with truth, with joy, with bliss, with bliss, and with peace. So I wanted to give a little talk, but before that, I was thinking if anybody wants to share anything today. Anything that they want to speak or talk. And then I can think right now. So I don't know what to speak. But if someone can say something or maybe share something, then I can probably talk something. Is there anything that someone wants to talk or say? I can unmute you. Okay, there you go. Shankar. Shankar. Yes, Shankar. How are you doing?
Yeah, tell not me. Bad. I have some sort of fear right now.
Okay. Huh? What is it?
I may have an eye surgery or something on Monday or Tuesday, and it is a very simple one, but still...
there is anxiety.
This would have been 1 year back, I would have been worse, but because of all this meditation, it is better now, but I still have this... the fear is hitting me. I'm observing it, but it's still there.
Of course. Okay. So you're not denying the fear?
No, it's there. I'm aware of it.
Absolutely. And you know what? That's the important thing. Don't deny it. Don't try to put it under the rug and say, oh, this I should not be fearing or anything. Just let it be. It's a part of your human existence. Okay. And just like I always say, you have multi dimensions about yourself. We know we can roughly put it in two main categories. One is a human existence. One is a spiritual divine existence, right? And sometimes, like I always told you, when Kali comes, what happens?
Then
she will definitely strike, right? And she strikes you when you are vulnerable, when you're looking for that, you'll not have the place to feel safe at that time, because human, she would reinforce the human qualities in you, the human weaknesses. She'll bring that out, right? And she'll strike there. Mm. So you just notice that it is this time for the fear to arise in you. This is the episode. There's going to be anxiousness around it. There's going to be anxiety about it. First is to accept it. Okay? Then, as you sit with it, allowing the humanness to appear, to consume you, you embrace it completely, totally, without trying to fix that feeling, because you just cannot fix it. Even if you do any of the churning and stuff, you will not be able to even churn properly at that time. Your breath will not be the breath will be very heavy. You will not be able to concentrate properly and focus properly on anything. So this is the time for you to allow Mother Kali or consciousness to work, because she is cutting the karmic balance, which has gone little imbalance, which may come because of some reasons. Not that you have done karmically anything wrong, but we all have to go through that stage. All of us. Not that you specifically have to go through that. All of us will have to go through that particular place. Now, how am I going to resolve that? By trying to run away from it or escape it or escape into concepts, reading books. Yes, it may give you some strength at that time. But more importantly, I have to allow that moment to just be how it is. Allowing it to pass through it. Allowing it brave. You have to be brave and courageous to face it, because there is nothing else that you can anyway do. And not attribute it to any reason. If I am spiritual, I will not be able to face it. No, it doesn't mean anything. But you will be protected. That I can tell you. If you are in this mindset, that okay, this is what I have to face. This is what she's trying to show me at this moment, and I will allow myself to cooperate in this way. And so when you go and process it, there is going to be a lot of negative thoughts that are going to come along with that, right? It's not normal. There'll be anxiety, anxiousness, fear, and what if the procedure happens this, and what if the procedure happens that, and all that constants are going to be there. Is it going to pain me? How much is it going to pain me, right? What if the doctor does this and what if the doctor does that? All of that questions are going to be there. It's a part of your human humanness, how it wants to resolve it by fearing all that kind of things, right? So you just sit with it and say, okay, let me think all that thing. Let me allow myself to even think all the things that are there. I don't have to resolve anything. I don't have to do anything about it to kind of heal it or throw it or release it or, you know, whatever. Nothing. Oh, I should not be thinking like that. No. It's going to happen. You can't fight that time. No matter how much you try, you cannot fight at that moment that thoughts that are going to come. Or you cannot even fight the feelings that are going to come with it. Both are to be allowed. Even thoughts and even feelings. Now, what will happen after some time? Let's say that, when is your operation? Or when are your eye surgery? Sorry, when is it?
Well, it's not definite. I'm meeting the doctor on Monday, and he will decide whether it can do away with the injection or does he need a surgery. It's not inside the eye, but I'm still scared. You know, it's on the eyelid. It's a chalazion. It's a simple one, but I'm still scared.
I know. It's okay. Maybe nothing of that sort will happen. Maybe nothing. But we are not dealing with what will happen, what will happen. Right now, we are dealing with it, that what you're going to do with the fear. Okay? What is going to happen with the thoughts? You just allow everything to just be. And once you are able to think and process all the emotions that are coming inside of you, you just sit with it, along with it. Just it. You will burn on its own. And as you notice and become aware, the number of thoughts that are coming, those are negative, there are going to be positive, then you're going to think, oh, I should think positively, I should not think like that. All these kind of conflicts are going to happen. Just watch all of that. And a moment will come when you're going to get tired of it, to have this conversation with yourself. Completely tired. At that time, the brain, the mind will stop. And you will do nothing about it. That's the way to deal with it. Correct? Just be with it. Nothing else. The good thing about this is, when you start burning in this way and you're allowing the humanness to manifest as it wants to in your body or inside your body, you will see how that humanity, your humanness, is actually leading you towards peace. You will see yourself, because there is a deep acceptance of just about everything that you are going through. That's important. We have a problem about things because we do not accept anything. Or we accept part of us and we don't accept another part of it. We accept good. Everything good should happen to us. But when these things happen, challenging things happen, we try to say, no, this should not happen to me, or what I have done. These are the mental questions or things that happen to us in our minds. But if we have to tell, okay, this is the humanity, what is coming to us is something that we have laid in the past, if you see, this kind of thoughts, correct? And many people believe, oh, we should change the way of thinking by being positive. Think the way, oh, everything is going to be good. Maybe there's not going to be an operation going to happen. Maybe it's all going to be nice. Maybe it's all, yes, but I say that whatever you have laid first in the past, first understand this whole thing. First understand what you are. And you will see that you are always going to be bending towards negative more than positive. Mostly, you're going towards, and that is the left side. I always say left side of the heart, you know, the distinction that I made towards pain, fear, and all that. So now we are allowing the, we are not getting swayed into the left side, but we are observing that, how it is happening. We are observing it and we are processing the feeling that is arising by those thoughts. Okay? Understood what is happening? Now, when I am going to be just aware of it and say, this is all of me is this, there is no more conflict. This is what you are. Right? Why be ashamed of it? Why feel, oh, I should not be like this? No. Because I am putting awareness, my full total awareness into what I am. Isn't that what you all started to be, to know about truth? What yes. I am? Yes. Not what someone should be. Not I should be something. Mm-hmm. I should be Ramana. I should be Nisargadatta. I should be so-and-so. I should be so-and-so. You don't know them. You don't even know you were there with them. No, right? Am I right? And what is our journey? Our journey is to know ourselves. That is our journey. It is not to know somebody. It is not to know, oh, what Osho was. You don't know. Osho may have been a bigger mess than what you are. Maybe. You don't know. How we know? We are to, because the struggles that we are going through, only I know or you know. It is your personal struggle of what you are. So our whole idea of what ISIP or the teaching is to know yourself. So first know yourself, what you are. Okay, these are my thoughts. I feel like this. I feel anxiety. Very good. I feel scared. I'm very scared. What is wrong with that now? Nothing wrong. This is human factor. It's a human dimension. It's a human way that I'm thinking and feeling and I'm accepting all of that. So now first thing is that conflict is over. There is no trying to fight it. No fighting with it. Correct? Right? Then second thing what happens as I start to feel that, slowly and slowly, as I collect all the missing pieces, I collect my thoughts, I collect my emotions, I collect my feelings, I collect my past, I collect my memories, I collect my old memories that are associated with pain and everything and all those things are together, I suddenly feel that I'm getting tired of all the thinking that I'm doing. Everything is so tiring for me. And suddenly the mind will drop. Finish. And that time you will go into the deepest core of the self. Not partly. Fully you will go into it. You will experience it yourself. Along with all the feelings, the thoughts, all of that will just one by one fall. One by one. One by four. This is very important for all of you to understand what I'm trying to say here. Is that you must collect all the different pieces of yourself that are kept in different places, which are in like memory, like thoughts, like emotions, different kind of emotions, all of that. And bring them all together and accepting all of them together. Let all of that work together. Let it become most chaotic experience at that time. It may be the most chaotic playground at that moment of your time. But when you do that and you sit with it, you'll realize that there is going to be a force of energy that will shift, that will tremendously pull you inside, within, deeply within at that time. That is going to happen when the mind drops. Otherwise, if you're going to fight with the mind is going to fight back with you. The mind is going to keep fighting with you. You're going to only argue with your mind. Understand? And so you're not really processing fully what you are. Are you understanding? Are you understanding what I'm saying, Shankar? Yeah. Yes. Are you getting it?
Yes. But when I am present, when I look at the mind, then I'm not that scared. It is talking to me. But if I refuse to read the words and the sentences, then if I just look at what the word and sentences very intensely, then I'm not affected. But that doesn't last for a long time.
Yes. Yes.
Slowly it steals me and, drops.
This is very textbook what you're telling me. Yes. Why I'm saying this is to you, because this is normally what people are telling. Be aware of the mind and mind is not there. Please understand. And that's why it is going to be short-lived. Why? Because when your awareness is very much attentive to a particular moment, in a particular moment, which you call as a present moment.
Yes.
Which you call as a now, in the here and the now. At that time, you will see the mind is not there and nothing is disturbing you. Right? But yes. Now what I am telling you is different. What I am trying to tell you is one step more deeper than this. Let the chaos also be accepted. You just be aware. Means you are preparing yourself for not just if I am attentive to something or not. If I am aware of something or not. No, I am preparing myself to an eventuality where no matter what happens, I'm not making it to be only the present moment where I can see and observe the mind and the mind stops for that moment. No, yes. No. I'm allowing everything to manifest. I'm allowing all the chaos. I'm telling the purging to happen. I'm allowing the mind to work as much as it can because this has failed. And I'll tell you why this has failed. This has failed and this will fail continuously because this is only a technique of trying to be when you're completely aware and attentive to something at that moment, there's only awareness of yourself that time, right? Yes. But the mind hasn't kicked in. Yes. Now, very important thing is this, when you're not, then what happens? You're not, you're only going to get caught up into the story at that time. And you will not know that you have drifted into the movement of the mind.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And that's where the fear comes. Yes. I am preparing you to a place where you allow the mind and the emotions and everything to appear as much chaotic as it can be. So you're preparing yourself.
Huh? But to take over, right?
To take over. Yes, okay. Yes. To take over. Yes, absolutely. But you're getting taken over with choice.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Take it, consume me, do whatever you want. Yes, I'm thinking like this. Yes, I'm like that. Yes, I'm. Tell yourself.
Yes.
Only you are aware. Now, what happens? You prepare yourself for this to happen again in your life. Aren't you going to be more prepared?
Yes. Yes, I've
aren't you going to be?
Yes. And I know this is a small thing. In the future, there will be bigger things.
There are going to be bigger things. This is a small thing and it can shake you.
Yeah.
And every time you can't ask this question, to whom it is correct. Happening? Yeah. Or you can't go into present state and stay there. Yeah. Or you can't keep doing the ujjayis. See, I'm telling you very, very practically.
Yes.
I'm saying practical here. That's what I'm saying. That get to know your... And now the thing is, know yourself. You're not just the silence in the present. I'm sorry. You're not just that. You're also the chaos of the human. This is one dimension that we have a problem that we do not, we either sway this side or that side. Ordinary human consciousness only sways towards the unconsciously towards drifting towards, you know, all the left side of fear and greed and indulgences and meaningless existence. And the spiritual only, he'll try to fix it by going to the other side, the you know, and say, oh, the human is not so important to me. It's nothing. It doesn't have a control over myself because there is nothing like that. And it is all, it is all play of words. You understand? It is not practical. We have to be ready to meet all challenges, whether in the spiritual field or in the human field. And human field, I believe, is the best way to, by embracing this fear, by embracing this in the right understanding, not by saying, by going into just accepting and being in the present moment because I know that that can resolve at that moment my problem. You see, that's the problem. Because even there, when I'm thinking, oh, I need to go into the self, I need to go into the being because that can help me escape the feeling that I'm feeling about myself.
Yes.
See?
Yes.
This is the problem. This is the my problem with every spiritual study is that they already have decided that by being aware, by being attentiveness, somehow I will be able to escape myself. So it is all escaping in some way, nice way or whatever way, it is all escaping. Now I'm saying instead of doing that, why don't you completely feel the destructive power of yourself, whatever it is, the thoughts, the emotions, the feelings, everything that comes up at that time, and challenge yourself to feel it completely. What will happen? you know what will happen? First few days, you will be so shit scared of yourself that you will not want to sit with it. This is what is going to happen.
Yes. Yes.
And you're going to say, my God, this was not what I expected to be in satsang with Rajiv. Yeah. Because this is not the way I expect. But there is no other way. You tell me a way. There is no other way. Everything has failed. Everything has failed. We might fool ourselves. We're fooling others. We can't fool ourselves. Can we?
I don't have to force myself to think like that, right?
No.
If it happens,
if it happens, yeah. Of course. Only if it happens. And it will happen.
Yeah, it is happening.
It will happen.
Yeah.
How big you are in spiritual field or how strong you are in your life or health issue, money issue, this relationship issue will test you. I can tell you that. And test you big. Test you big. Now, when that happens, you're going to say, oh, I need to go and rush into the self. Oh, I need to go into the... So, this is denying a part of what you are.
Okay.
In short, I'm denying a part of what I am. And that's not going to work because the self will not open the door to a part of you. The self only opens the door when the entirety of you are made to move inside the self. Not half-heartedly, oh, only this much I will collect. Attentiveness will bring me into the sense of peace. A little bit of peace I'll feel and then I'll go into myself. No, it's not going to happen that way. You'll have to burn completely, totally, allowing thoughts. Some students, some teachers say that, oh, you should only process feelings and not thoughts. Now, I don't agree with that too. I agree. I feel that you must process everything of yourself. The thoughts that you have laid in the past, negative, positive, whatsoever, thoughts for anybody, howsoever they are, destructive, constructive, don't judge. Just watch it coming into your life, how it comes at that moment, and fully embrace it and say, this is me. This is me. Now what? Yeah, I'm feeling myself. This is me. What will happen? What will happen? What will happen? Initially, only part of you will take. Only a part of you. You will say, only I'll pick this. The rest, I don't want to look at it. It's too painful. This is the thing. It's going to be painful. But as you start to take 1, 2, 3 parts of yourself, you start to go confidence. Because the more you collect yourself, you will have more accessibility to the self. You will have more and more accessibility to the self. This is the main thing. This is the main thing. Where both your spiritual dimension and your human dimension are integrating and helping each other. Big time. Right? Okay?
Okay.
Right? So, yeah. That's what you have to do. Alright?
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Very good.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
You'll be fine. I'm telling you, you'll be great.
Thank you.
Nothing
to
worry.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Yeah. You're welcome. Anybody else wants to ask a question, then I have to give one satsang. It's already 10:20. Anybody? No? Okay. Lalit.
Rajiv.
Yes, Lalit.
I've always noticed, like, you know, however deep I go, I noticed that the one who's putting the conscious effort is the one who's holding me back from going down.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So it's like after a while, the same one which is, you know, taking me deeper gets scared and doesn't want to let go. So how do I
this
drop?
Yes. Now, see, this is what I'm saying. There's a whole lot of you which is inside of you operating within you. 50% or 20%, what is spirituality? What is we doing here is to know the entirety of you, correct? Which means, let me put the foundation back again. Spiritual dimension about yourself, which is universal. Universal means I am the self, joy, bliss. You are the joy, the bliss. She is the joy and bliss. That's universal truth. All our pursuits are towards that. Correct? Now, there is another dimension to our existence, which is a human existence. We are all different in that. Everybody of us have different issues. So we are all complicated, tremendously complicated in that human aspect. We are trying to resolve everything in the spiritual way, but in the human aspect, we are completely zero, no knowledge about it, zero. Correct? Now, so what we have to do, so what is holding you back is a part of you which has gone into the self, which you have integrated through your practice, through your burning, through your acceptance, through your surrender. A part of you, you are able to bring into the self. The other part of it, which you choose not to look at, which you choose not to be with, is not allowing it to go inside. So one part of it goes inside, the other part of it is not going inside, the whole part. And that's why you're not satisfied totally into it. That's why you still, you can say one of them is fighting the other. And that's why I'm saying you have to keep knowing about yourself, completely knowing what you are, how your mind works. Get to know that. Howsoever it feels, don't go by spiritual concepts. This is how I should be feeling. That is how I should be feeling. No. First, be honest with what you are. This is my humanity aspect of it. Collect all of that. Or you will get the opportunity to know through your vasanas, your tendencies, how you're going to think, how you're going to feel. All of that you'll come to know. Feel it. Embrace it. Don't try to heal it or fix it or throw it or release it and blah, 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 blah. That's only going to delay everything that you are. Only escapism, different kind of escapism, form of escapism, nothing else. Now, once I know myself fully, totally, then there is going to be a not a planned way. Oh, this is the self. This is the being. I can feel my being. This is all manipulation of the mind. It is good baby step. It's a fantastic baby step. Oh, I'm feeling the sense of amness. I'm feeling a certain joy. I'm feeling a certain feeling of love. And have you noticed when everything is just so good, you feel fantastic in yourself. But when things go south, as far as finance is concerned, as when or when Kali strikes, or when the health is an issue, everything starts getting chaotic inside. Where is the self that time? No. Why? Because this is, and that will happen to all of us. Trust me. No matter how much you do your practices, they're going to happen because real going into the self is not, even those practices help to achieve all of that. And what we are doing is raising the platform, making the, but today you and we together have come 1.5 years into these practices, right? Almost 1.5 years or 1 year. Now it is time for us to go deeper and a much more advanced teaching, which means that we are able to now start accepting all our negativity also. Every aspect of us we are going to bring to ourselves inside fully without trying to release it in any form. We will continue our practice, no doubt, no doubt about that. But when I start to accept my feelings, my thoughts, and what I'm thinking about other people, what I'm thinking about myself also, all of that, all my memories and everything, what will happen? Again, I'm telling the procedure. And I don't know when that will happen. Maybe it will happen with grace. Your mind is going to get tired of doing all this again and again, again and again, again and again. And one day it just gives up. And when that happens, there is going to be the deepest rush into the self, which is not a calculated way, which is not the manipulation of the mind. Oh, if I do this much practice, I should be able to feel this much self. No. No. It will all happen so spontaneously through grace. When you have completely moved into yourself totally, without the thought that, oh, I must have this and this from it. Because the only motive or intention we must have is to know ourselves fully, which includes the spiritual dimension and the more complicated and difficult, which is the human aspect of us, which is also evil, which is also impure, which is also everything in all of us. Let's be honest about it. We all have that propensity, violence, anger, rage. All of that is contained within myself. I cannot put it and say I am spiritual being only, because these are something that come and go. Well, they keep coming and going, my dear. They are coming and going so much all the time. When is it going to come? Stop. If it just comes and goes, I don't want it to come. Isn't that our issue? See, that's what I'm trying to say, is that the only way you can deal with that part is to come face to face with yourself. Face to face. First come face to face with what you are. And when you do that, you will understand how this, you have to trust this. I'm telling you. Initially, you'll take some baby steps and you only take some part of yourself, and the other part of it you will not accept. Then you will take part of it and go a little bit more deeper. And as you go more deeper and more deeper and more deeper into yourself, knowing about yourself, you will know what real self is at that time. Mind will stop working, and that is not going to happen by any effort. Everything will be effortlessly through grace. Okay? Understood? I'm giving you a theoretically, and now you have to practice. Lalit?
Yes. Yes,
I don't know if I make any sense.
No. I think I've noticed, anytime I try to make sense out of things, they don't work. So right now I'm just digesting whatever you're taking and let it work on its own.
So many of my students tell me this. I don't know if it is my issue or your issue.
No, not with you. Anything. I've probably reached a stage where any book I read or anything I read, anything I try to turn into a technique doesn't work. So
no, it won't. Because there the manipulation of the mind is there.
That's
and
right.
That doesn't mean that the mind is, the techniques are wrong. Because when we are giving the churning and all those things, it does not mean they're wrong. But there is a purpose behind it. And I am telling you, churning practices which we do is to know about your spiritual dimension. Which means when you start churning deeply and correctly, which we are going to take in the next satsang, how to deeply churn, how to deeply burn. Today I have spoken about a lot about how to deeply burn. Maybe next time I will give more insights into that. But how to deeply churn is very important. And what does churning do? Churning is making the I thought go back into the source. That is churning. How to do this, right? Now, that only gives you a part of spiritual existence. You will feel peace, you'll feel bliss, you'll feel joy, you'll feel everything. But that is going to be for a small period of time, limited period of time, right? And then something will happen. Again, you're back and forced into the human aspect. You're back there again. And again, the conflicts will start. Then again, you will come back, turn back to the technique. See, it is you are moving into the spiritual dimension again and again, again and again and again. But where is the spiritual dimension throwing you? Into the human dimension. Why? Because you have to deal with the human in the human. You have to deal with it. The vasanas were laid in the human dimension, not in the spiritual dimension. So you have to deal with it in the human aspect. Roll them back into the spiritual fully, totally, which means my way of explanation is, and I'm explaining in words, which you will have to understand by your working with yourself. And that's why it's not, may or may not make any sense. But logically, think about it. If something I have laid in my human body existence, human dimension, for example, if I was getting rage and angry, or I did some violence against anybody, was I in my spiritual dimension that time? Or was I in my human dimension that time? I must have been my human dimension that time to do it. When I'm identified with that. So obviously, I have to resolve that not through going into spiritual dimension, because it's going to throw me back into the human aspect. Again into this human dimension. I have to undo that again in the human. So if I have learned only to hate somebody, which has become a pattern, or to suspect somebody, which has become a pattern, or to keep fearing something which has become a pattern, how can I deal with that in sitting eyes closed in my meditation? You tell me. I have to go and face it again. And when I face that again, I then process what is happening with me inside fully. My thoughts, my feelings, my memories, my childhood traumas. Everything will come to you in a flash, like a flashcard. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Together, all these issues are going to come with the feelings. Please understand what I'm saying. At that time, this is going to happen. And you're not going to feel any spiritual there. You're going to feel weak. Weak, vulnerable, raw, agitated, everything. This is the reality. Nothing will help that time. A little operation, a little thing, or little, you know, which is not so thing. Or like in my case, my dad's operation. At that time when he was going through this, we didn't even know whether it was cancer or not. Just 1 week, 2 weeks back. We didn't even know. But the very thought that my dad could be having, because he had a tumor in his brain, in his body. A huge tumor. And when we took the MRI, it was thought to be such a big tumor. And the doctor said to us that we have to get it biopsy done because we are suspecting it to have a cancer. And that time, believe it or not, I was completely shaken at that time. I'm not lying. I'm not going to tell you, oh, you know, it's nothing. It's a body which was there, or I felt such peace and such joy. Of course not. I was tremendously shaken. I love my father. Why will I not be shaken? Why I have to deny that? Am I going to deny my human and lie and say to people that, oh, no, I was not? Of course I was. In that 1 or 2 hours, 3 hours, and the night, I was pondering on what's happening within me. Now, that is not my choice, because something else had completely taken over me, my human aspect. As if my spiritual joy that I was experiencing and I am experiencing went into the background. Means not that background I'm talking about, not that vast background. Means that background which is like kept in a corner. And that human aspect, the human dimension became so big. My fear arose and I felt fear for my father and attachment and love and feelings start to arise within me. Am I going to lose my father? That is what I felt. And then I called the people, to doctors and all that. And I knew so many people here in Mumbai. So I called my friend who was from the hospital and everything. And he said, you know what, Rajiv, we don't know, but I think we suspect you should be prepared for the worst. And I said, oh my God, now what? Am I going to my mom? Everybody is shaken by that. Anyway, I have no choice. I know what I have to do. What I know is, I have no preferences. I know what action I have to do. I know this is what is going to happen. I have to sit with it and I have to burn whatever is left in me, whatever I have to carry and to feel and to, I have to completely be myself for that time and see my fears, my problems, my issues, my everything about myself that I can gather at that moment. That's all I know. That's the only thing I know, honestly. And do you think I would be doing churning that time? Do you think I'll be doing all of that or any other techniques or reading books or this thing? None of that is going to help me. I know that. Do I not know it won't help me? It will give me temporary strength, little bit. But what about that? What about me? I'm not going to escape myself. So I have to make that big, big, big plunge into myself again to see. And you know, and sometime it was all one dropping, two dropping, three dropping, all the thoughts just dissolving. Thup, 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 everything. And the experience of that joy that I felt, tremendous, tremendous, tremendous joy in spite of that. I felt all that. So when you collect all that, now it has become a habit for me that every adversity that happens with me turns into joy. Is that my fault? That I'm sharing this with you? that I want you to have that kind of joy where every adversity becomes a joy for you, but it won't appear at first. Why? Because you have to take the big step, leap into yourself. You should be willing to walk into the fire of yourself. You should be willing to do that. That's the important thing. You have to get into the ring and meet the challenger. And you might get knocked down a few times. So what? There is no escape anyway. So challenge yourself. You be your own challenger. That is the whole idea. Collecting yourself fully. I always look at myself. What do I collect? Is there anything left to collect? Is there anything left to collect? Is there anything left to collect? And then I feel peace. As I am more open to collecting myself more and more, I am more and more happy, more and more joyous, more and more wonderful, feeling everything within myself. Correct? Okay. Right, Lalit? Okay. So, now I only took two questions. Now I have to talk something. Now I know what to talk. So, briefly, one question that everybody has in their minds is about, you know, we talk about Holy Alliance right now, this what we have together, a Holy Alliance, where we are sitting in satsang. Why? Because we don't want to know the truth. Truth is what we need, because truth is what will set us free, nothing else. Truth about ourselves, not truth about Ramana Maharishi. Please, not truth about Yogananda, not truth about XYZ, truth about myself. And so first I have to stop looking at anybody else and look at myself, fully look at yourself, what you are made up of. Now, there is one unholy alliance that people have question about, and that unholy alliance is material world versus spiritual world. Spiritual world versus material world. If I am going to go deep into the spirituality, am I supposed, what's going to happen to my material life? How I'm going to balance it? How will I be able to live and maintain relationship like the way I did? Or is it going to change? Will I start earning less money because of that? Or will my relationship suffer due to that with my lover or with my husband or with XYZ, whatever, or friends? Or what is going to happen to my material or spiritual life, or material life vis-a-vis spiritual life? That question everybody has. Some people start to distance themselves from relatives, friends, lovers, and even their, you know, with their friends, because they feel that there is a kind of a conflict between the two. So, you know my rule and my principle by now, that there is absolutely no conflict. In fact, I believe that the worldly existence very well supports, totally supports your spiritual life. And in fact, without the world existence, it will be very difficult and very much impossible to have deep insight into your spiritual existence. Absolutely. And that's where how we developed this ISIP, based on this basic principle. But I am not saying because I did this or I invented this. I did not invent any of this. I experimented it on basis of what the scriptures speak about, talk about. Our scriptures have already given this, that absolutely there is no conflict between the two. And when I say scriptures, I do not want you to, in a try to have blind faith or something, or I'm trying to make a ritualistic or any of that, or make you anybody different than what you are with religious thinking. I'm just saying that you put it into test what the scriptures are saying in this regard. The scriptures very clearly laid down that there are four Purusharthas, they're called Purusharthas. That is basically four activities or actions which help you to go deeper into yourself. There are four. The first is dharma. Second is artha. Third is kama. And fourth is moksha. Four. I will very briefly explain all the four things. First one, dharma. We all know what dharma is. Dharma is the relationship that you have with yourself. Truth. Like we just spoke today. First prime duty is dharma. As we are born, as we appear like human beings, but we have a spiritual dimension which we need to explore. We just don't want to enrich our human existence. Dharma says you must also explore what is your spiritual dimension, which is universal, which is one, which is of joy, happiness, love. That is our spiritual existence. When this body is going to be not there, where are we going to melt into? That oneness, that one joy, that one life, the wave that we are, individual waves that we are all going to go and merge into this universal ocean of joy. This is, dharma says, we have to realize that. Dharma says, we need to, that is our major duty, is to realize ourselves to be this spiritual, universal love, joy. And feeling which we have failed in our human existence. We have not done proper justice to our human existence. If we have failed to explore our spiritual existence or our spiritual dimension. Now, we have laid down what we have to do. Related to dharma is the process of churning. How do you churn? We have already written it. We ask this question to whom? And we go into the sense of beingness. Dharma. Dhar means to hold. Ma means my sense of beingness. So keep holding the sense of I am. Keep holding the sense of I am. And come to this I-amness. It is meaning of dharma. Second way to do it is through Ujjayi. We are reversing the life force back from into the objects, which are going into the objects. We are reversing it back to the self. When we do Ujjayi, the life force which is moving into the objects, into the senses, are turned inwards slowly and slowly into the self. We feel very nice, we feel peaceful, we feel joy, we feel happiness when we do this. Why? Because the life force is turning back to the source. This is also dharma. So, two dharmas, and of course the other techniques are given, heart freeze and internal spinal breathing, all are contained in our ISIP. This is called dharma. Number one, understand this. Either you ask this question to whom, and when you go by asking this question to whom, you go into the source of I thought, what is called the I amness. And you stay in the subjective feeling. Subjective feeling means melting and sinking into that feeling of I. As you do it again and again, again and again, again and again, again and again, the life force will get used to going back into the self. Now that is what we call as churning. Churning takes place by doing that. Same thing with your breath, that is through Ujjayi or heart freeze, all of that means you are doing dharma. That is the first. Now, second, artha. They were scientists, our yogis and gyanis. They knew very well that by just giving this simple instruction is not going to help. So that's why they gave you second thing, artha. Artha means wealth, money. Money, money, money. Very important. Because if I'm going to think of where my bread is going to come from the next day, if I'm going to worry about it, how I'm going to churn properly, I'm going to be perpetually worried, agitated. Very practical, they've said it. So what they told is, you're allowed to earn money, to have wealth, to have financial security. Financial security. Now, please note, they didn't say financial goals. Because financial goals means what? Today you earn $10,000-$15,000. My financial goal goes up to $25,000 next year. Then my financial goal goes up to $35,000 next year. Then my financial goals go to $45,000. See what is happening? It is greed. That a financial guru will tell you. Goals means set them higher, 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 higher. But that's not what they're trying to say. They are saying, don't, to get rid of the fear that comes due to artha, that is due to money issues, so that you can concentrate and focus on your sadhana. Artha is important, money is important, so that you could concentrate and focus on your sadhana. It is supposed to support you. But people, what they do? When they go into money making, they feel that happiness derived by money. And so with that, you know, what opens up? Both the right side and the left side opens up, and they sway towards the left side of the heart. Means they start to get greedy, possessive. They become completely greedy of everything, of all the manipulation they start doing so that they can get so much money, more and more money, and they try to have as much and hoard as much money as they want to hoard. That is not going to help them in their cause, because they have transferred the power from the sadhana as a means to sadhana. They transferred and made it the object itself, the objective. The money has become more than the means. It becomes the end. And that's where the problem arises for most people. This discernment is very important, especially when it comes to money. Earth also means health issue. Another thing. If you're not in the healthy, or not taking care of right diet, or not exercising, not taking proper sunlight, your body will feel weak. You will not be able to do sadhana. So you must also take care of your body. You must also take care of your financial security, not goals, financial security, health, so that you can focus. And this instrument, that is a body, can very much concentrate and completely, without any worry and anxiety as to the money aspect or the health issue. Of course, the health issue is going to come, and I'm going to come to the next, how it happens. But you must take care of these two issues. Not get obsessive about it, as many people become. I've seen it, especially in the West, when I come there. Oh, I need to have this many tablets every day, multivitamins, this, that, this. They're eating less food and having more multivitamins. And I'm surprised how so much they're doing. Some people are doing. And now here also, India also, it is happening. Same trend is happening here also. So everything, there should be a balance. It is very difficult. Otherwise, you will get completely swayed into the, it will become obsession. Health will become an obsession. Money making will become obsession. And instead of being an instrument, it will become the end of what you're doing. So that's the second thing. Artha. Third is kama. Kama means desires. And what desires for what? In the Indian scriptures, it is given kama means sexual desires. But according to me, kama means intimacy, passion, with or without the indulgence in sexual activity. I'm not saying you should not have sexual activity at all. I'm not judging it. I'm saying with or without. Because the common the most important definition of karma is passion. If you share a passion with anybody, like for example, today we all are having one passion for truth. Deep passion for truth. To know ourselves. There is no involvement of anything, but we have one common vision together, which bonds us, which brings us together, which unifies us, you know, brings us together deeply. And that is karma, a desire to know something. It could be for music also. It could be for dance also. It could be for everything and anything. And same thing, spirituality also, to know about yourself. All of that means anything that brings a relationship with somebody for a common passion, with or without involvement of sexual, means karma. And that also is allowed, because without that, you will not feel the juiciness, the aliveness of life. So they gave us this also, that you can pursue any goal, any desire, any passion with a like-minded person or people, so that togetherness with that, when you unite togetherness, you feel aliveness, juiciness, a procreation will happen. In the old times, they were saying, you know, in our Indians, they say, oh, people, man and woman, at old times, well, not now. Old times, man and woman should only have sex, only to procreate children. Now, many years back, I heard it when I was very, very small. It was interpreted like this, that only for procreation, for two people should have sexual relation only for procreation. But what the actual meaning is that, you know, but many people did not have sexual relationship, but got nowhere in terms of spiritual development. So it is flawed. It has no basis. That's not the criteria. The important thing was that two people coming together, or group of people coming together for a particular passion, create a strong surge of energy, procreate togetherness. If two, for example, musicians get together, they create wonderful music together. They create something wonderful. It is something that is beyond the mind. It is created out of awareness. That is what it means. Means, with or without the sexual aspect of it, because I am saying again sexual, because karma usually in here is written and is misinterpreted as that, and it is not so. It just means a group of people or two people, lovers or not lovers, or people who are like-minded, sharing a particular passion and intimacy, develop a strong relationship with each other, which is unified or procreates a different kind of movement of energy. And that energy establishes a strong bonding with each other and helps one to go deep into the self, into the source of that energy. People are able to move into that energy due to that. Huh? Understanding what I'm saying? It could be anything. Now, again, like I said, when that happens, when your relationship happens, again, there's going to be mess. Because it is like this. As you open your heart, not just the right side of the heart opens up. Huh? Also, the left side of the heart opens up at the same time. That's where it happens. You get into a relationship with somebody, it's not always joy. It's joy first. Wonderful first. It's a honeymoon period. When the honeymoon period ends, then all the ugliness also comes out of it. You see things about other person that you had not seen before, and you wonder, what the hell did I do there? You know, you start to think, right? It happens. Then there are people who, I give the example, the analogy of the bee and the flower. Remember the bee and the flower, that you go, the bee goes into the flower, sucks the honey, goes into the beehive, and stays there and then goes back into the flower. Another flower takes the juice or the honey from there and goes back into the hive, right? There are certain bees in the world. They completely sit on the flower all the time and they suck the bloody flower dry completely of all the honey. They keep sucking it till the bloody flower is no more. You can't recognize the flower anymore. It has completely become dry. Nothing is there in that left. And then they say, there's a problem with the flower, that it has not even to give me any more honey. Are, how can it give you honey when you have sucked the bloody, drained the flower completely out of it? You sucked him completely. This is what happens in relationships. This is what happens in relationships. When you get close into with somebody or in anything, that time, as the left side of the heart opens up, you start sucking. And give the person some break. Give him some space. Move away from the flower. Go into your hive. Stay there for some time. Come back when the flower has got sunlight and everything, water. Then it will be ready for you. But don't sit on their face all the time. And that's what happens. That's what happens today. The left side opens up so strongly, people are drifted into that relationship. There's no life in that because the flower is completely gone. It's as if it's not been given any lower life force. It can't help it also. Okay, come be, take me. But it has nothing to offer to you. But so what we have to learn from here is that when we are moved into, when we understand that we are going to the left side or drifting to the left side of the heart, that time we give space to the person. We allow and move and stay with ourselves only. And that means we do not, when we realize that we are trying to dominate, we are trying to manipulate, when we are trying to be controlling of any sort, we're getting very much deeply attached to something, then why rage happens, you know? Because we don't get that honey anymore. That's why rage happens. That's why agitation happens in relationships. That's why there is violence in relationship. Because at one time, the flower was giving me enough honey. And now it has completely not stopped giving me any more honey. But the problem is not the flower. The problem is you. And the bee must be willing to step aside from the flower for some time. But that they don't give. And so you need to move. You need to move away from the flower for some time. Give the space so that the flower can move and bloom again. So that you can go and sit on the flower again and enjoy each other. Now, this is where the left side. So when you have to realize this particular, when you realize this particular thing that this is happening, you must take this corrective action. Who's going to tell you this? The guru is going to tell you this, of course. But if the guru is not there, then who tells you? Your inner guru will tell you. Your inner consciousness will tell you. If you're honest, you will know it. What all is working within you? How it is working within you? What all thoughts are coming within you? How deeply manipulative you are? All of that you can easily, you can't fool yourself. Some people can, but I don't believe any of you can. This much I can tell you. But some people I've seen, oh my God, they can fool themselves so much. But you all can't fool yourself because you want to know the truth. Really deeply want to know the truth about yourself, right? You're interested in that. Otherwise, you're wasting my time and your own time, correct? So you have to then understand that when this is happening, you move and take the space and then make the slight adjustment to go into the right side. How will that decide? By dharma again. Dharma. Dharma tells you, it's a guide to tell you that you are swaying towards the left side. If you have found strong foundation of dharma, it will tell you. Awareness will tell you that yes, you're swaying towards that. You're giving the control to the object. The objective of the object is to go into the self. That changes. I have to understand that thing. What is the object of every relationship? What is the object of every money, of wealth, or anything that you've earned? Our relationship is to always go into the self. They're to facilitate that. Not that they become objectives. Not that the relationship becomes an objective. Not that money becomes an objective. This is very important to understand. Otherwise, if you will forsake the first step, dharma, completely, it will go away. You will not be able to churn. You will not be able to do sadhana because you have got into the swayed on the left side. So, very important to understand. So, third one, interesting one, kama. And the fourth is moksha. Moksha means liberation. When all these three things happen in balance, means dharma, artha, means money, security, and kama, intimacy, passion, fulfillment, joy of togetherness. When all these three things happen without attachment, when these three things happen and fall into deep place together in unified way, moksha automatically happens. Liberation automatically happens with grace. Like I have explained to you, when these three things are in place, you will come to know more and more about your human dimension along with more and more of your spiritual dimension. You will come to know both of these things. And so moksha will automatically, it's like a flower that will open up, like a lotus, just open up totally. That will automatically happen. So now if you look at all the four things, you know what is common and what is the understanding that you will get? What is the understanding? Okay, you all are muted. You can't speak. I will tell you. The understanding is this. If you notice that all the four things, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, let it be, because moksha automatically, even moksha actually, all four require somebody else. You can't do it alone. Think. Dharma. If techniques are not given to you, if the way to do your practice is not given to you, how will you do? If the guru doesn't guide you, teacher doesn't guide you, do this, do that, how will dharma happen? It won't happen. That is number one, dharma. Second, artha, money. If nobody is going to employ you, then how will you earn money? Someone has to be there to employ you. You have to be useful to somebody so that someone will pay you money. Again, there has to be somebody there. Third, kama, relationship. Obviously, you have to have a relationship with somebody. The bee has to have a flower for a passion, for something. So again, there is somebody there. And moksha is grace. It cannot happen on your own. It has to be by God, by the gurus. Only by that you can have moksha. So in all these four things, where is you? You're only one part of it, 50%. The 50% is somebody else. So I always say the first prayer that you must have every morning as you get up is that you must realize that you cannot realize yourself. You'll be completely incomplete without somebody in your life. Everybody who has come in your life so far has given you one of these three things, either dharma, artha, kama. Everybody. And yet we have always something for he's like that, she's like that, she did like that, he did like that. See? Understand what I'm saying? What role they played in your life was to fill one of these things. So shouldn't we be having gratitude for everybody whom we have met in our life? First thing when you get up in the morning, please have gratitude. You cannot do it alone. Please understand this. Get up in the morning. Before you do anything in life, fold your hands and pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for everybody who has come in my life in the past. Thank you to everybody who is there in my life right now. And thank you to everybody who is going to be in my life ahead. All of them, I thank you all. Should be your first prayer to yourself. Because it is a fact. We do not realize it, but it is a fact. Everybody of us, anybody who has come in our life has given us one of these three things. You may have interpreted as painful, but that is your interpretation. That person only gave you an opportunity to know about yourself by giving pain. Or whatever. Have gratitude. I'm not saying go mix up. No. I'm just saying just the inner gratitude is very important. Second thing, please be honest with yourself. After doing that, sit for your churning. Honestly sit for 30 minutes for churning. Dharma. Don't forget Dharma. Start doing your meditation. Do at least 36 to 48 Ujjayis and a few hard freezes, maybe 12 hard freezes. Who can do it every day as you get up or in the evening or any time in the day. Do not think it is not so useful for you. Churning is very important for you. That is our main dharma. Please do dharma. Accomplish your dharma. And if you cannot do that for some reason, if you are serious, not that you are lazy and you can't do that. You cannot afford to be lazy. If you cannot do that because the mind is agitated due to some reason, that's the only reason way that churning will not happen. If you are restless, if you are agitated, then please know that either of the two things are happening. There is a problem in artha, money matter. Health matter, that is artha, or there is some problem with a relative relationship that is happening. Now, if churning is not taking place, address the other two through burning. Address it. Sit with it, collect, make the opportunity to deal with your insecurity, to deal with your fears, to deal with whatever thoughts are coming. Accept them as yourself. And move completely into it. Totally into it. Understand? If churning doesn't happen, then burning will happen. Either of the two things will happen. Or both can happen. Also, you can do little churning and you can do burning. But you have to do the churning burning every day of your life. Okay. So this ends my satsang. And please, my request to all of you is, this particular satsang, go through it again. Some of it, you have not grasped it properly. Go through it a few times. I know you all know it, a lot of things. Being with me, you already know my style of what or my thought pattern is, but it is not a question about my thought here. This satsang was not about me at all or what I have to convey to you. It is about yourself. You will find, and each of you will find some meaning for yourself as you go through this satsang again a few times, maybe at once or twice. Okay? Discipline yourself, churn and burn. Okay? All right. I love you all very much and I'll see you next time.